Hey, good evening. This is L.A. Steele. Good evening. We're here tonight we're going to have a special guest. His name is Harvey Wasserman. He's a noted historian, and he's been with us for, he was scheduled to be with us last week, and something happened there. We weren't able to link up with him. But he's on this week. He's an expert in solar energy, an anti-nuclear activist, and he's also a progressive who is fighting the good fight here on the this new re-election and the insanity of Trump's issues. But we're going to call him right now. And his, to his website, by the way, which is solartopia.org, and it's fascinating. But it talks about all of the things he's on. He has a talk show too on PRN, which is Progressive Radio Network, and on the Sluggo. And we're going to should be an interesting evening. So let's get him on the phone here. He's waiting for the call. And hopefully we'll have an interesting evening. Here we go. Okay. It's dialing. It's supposed to be dialing.
Hey there. Hello.
Yeah, hello, Harvey. Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you, man? Good, how are you?
I'm good. Yeah. I just introduced you, and we're talking. I want to talk to you tonight. I'm fascinated really by your anti-nuclear activism over the last many years. Myself and my television program, we did several documentaries on nuclear issues. And I wanted one question I've wanted to ask you tonight, because I have not been able to see it. I haven't seen much about it anywhere. Is what's going on with Fukushima at this point?
Nothing good. They're debating. There's a new prime minister in Japan, but he seems as bad as the other one, who was a total fascist.
Really?
They've got these God knows how many tons of water, radioactive water, sitting in these, tanks.
Yeah, millions, millions of tons. Yeah, the last
millions
heard,
and millions.
They were going to.
I wouldn't trust. They want to dump
spilling.
It.
Yeah,
they want to dump it. Who knows how much
it is.
I thought
they were. I thought they already did.
Well, it's
like
not clear to me.
3 million gallons of radioactive. I mean, they were talking about essentially contaminating one third of the Pacific Ocean, for crying out loud.
The whole thing. It's an apocalyptic catastrophe. It's on an apocalyptic level, and they're going to kill the whole Pacific Ocean.
Not to bring up biblical. I tell you, biblical prophecy. But I mean, that seventh seal. If you ever read the seventh seal. Explain that they contaminated one third of the world's ocean. Okay,
yeah,
that was predicted. Yeah, this is it. Wow.
It's anybody who tells you that nuclear power is the solution to global warming, ask them how a radioactive fire at 570 degrees Fahrenheit cools the planet. It's insane. Absolutely insane. And you'll be glad to know, during this giant face-off in Georgia over the two Senate seats, which I know you want to talk about, there's a third race that nobody's talking about. There's a down-ballot race for the Public Service Commission, which is going to make the decisions on the $30 billion Vogtle nuclear reactors, the last reactors built in the United States, and you know, it's going to bankrupt Georgia. There is an African American guy running for a seat on the Public Service Commission. There are five seats, but they've never had a progressive. Couldn't make this up. This African American guy is running against an 80-year-old seated commissioner whose name is Bubba. He's a white right wing Bubba. He's running against Bubba, you know. And and so that he's apparently the black guy's apparently a very good candidate. So we'll see how that goes. But that's going on along with the Senate races in Georgia.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I'll tell you, I was surprised that it was that close, especially after what, you know, how they. I got to hand it to this guy. I don't know if, you know, to the, I forget his name now, but the guy who's the Secretary of State, you know.
Raffensperger.
He seems to really be trying to make some sense out of this.
Well,
but,
it's not clear because he's also purging, according to Greg Powis, he's also purging a lot of voters, which they do down there. So we'll see
really?
What happens. But, we run a Zoom call every Monday, and a lot of this stuff comes out. Anybody wants to join it. We've started a new organization to reform our election system. It's a 4-year plan. That group is called electionprotection2024.org, all one word. Mm-hmm. And anybody wants to join our Zoom calls, contact us there. We do have the link. It goes from 5 to 6:30 Eastern time on Monday by Zoom. We've had 100 people on for the last three sessions. So happy to have you on. Yeah.
Great.
And it's deep stuff.
Did you make any sense out of it, or with 100 people listening and getting involved?
Well, these 100 people are top of the line. There have been a lot of people have been doing this for a long time. I mean, I've been doing
it. I mean, at top of the line, but 100 heads in one place there is a little. It must be a little bit. I don't know.
Cacophonous. No, it's pretty. We run a tight ship. You know, we have had. If people are looking for how to contribute to the Georgia campaign, it's the Atlanta NAACP. Just go find the, or it's on our site under Allies at electionprotection2024.org. Under Allies, you can find the link to the Atlanta NAACP, and we're directing people to support them. We are not directing people to come down to Georgia. That's got a sort of a historic tinge to it. But if you want to send money to the Atlanta NAACP, that's the way to do it.
Oh, I agree. How about Stacey Abrams, though? She
she's there, yeah. She's on the internet. I get funding requests from her, and there's also a group called People Demanding Action, which is very good. Those are the three groups that I know of that are on the ground, and they're all worth supporting.
So what do you think the chances are there? I mean, what do you think?
50-50.
50-50
I'd say it's 50-50. I mean, you've got this incredible clown show going on, but they don't care how stupid they look as long as they can get to the Supreme Court, and they do have a Pennsylvania case in front of the Supreme Court now. So, you know,
I thought they rejected that. No? I thought that was rejected.
I don't think – well, there was an earlier one, but, you know, he's got so many cases going. You'll be glad to know that they filed a case on Edison County, Michigan. But there is no Edison County, Michigan.
I read that recently, today or yesterday. There's no damn place but that.
Right. You know, so maybe they got confused with the Edison company and want to sue over the nuclear plant there, but – you know, these guys are there's no bottom to these guys. There's no
floor. Tell me something though. How the hell did they wind up with that presser there and at the Four Seasons Landscaping Company? How the hell did they
they're taking bad drugs, man. Somebody slipped Giuliani some bad LSD, you know. He's having a tough time.
Something crazy, because my God, I mean, who the hell made the appointment to be there? I mean, and then it was crazy. That was the craziest thing I've seen. Absolutely.
Yeah. Fun. Well, you know, there's no end to these guys. I mean, Giuliani has flown. He's in Michigan now, in front of a hearing, in front of the Michigan legislature.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's just no end to these guys, and they don't care. They're just wrecking the place. I mean, people are dying in the streets in this country.
Yeah.
Dying in the
streets.
The COVID level in Los Angeles is at an all-time high. There's no learning curve. The federal government is doing nothing either to help people with the virus or to help people who are going broke. I mean, you got millions of people in the streets now.
This is a failed state.
I
just read today the governor in California, they're just put an all-out shutdown.
It's horrifying. Horrifying. Well, the problem is they're not going to have enough hospital beds.
Yeah.
And, you know,
and
I mean, I write about this in my history book. I've got a history book of the People's Spiral of U.S. History, and it has an account of the pandemic of 1918. I got to tell you, that was 100 years ago. The pandemic of 1918 was much worse than this one so far. But, you know, it was a much worse, the Spanish flu, if you were 20 years old and strong and healthy and just drafted into the Army and you show up your base and you get sick in the morning, you were dead by the evening. I mean, the descriptions, there were corpses in the streets of Philadelphia. There were wild dogs in the streets of Philadelphia eating human corpses because they couldn't get them buried. They finally brought in... construction equipment, steam shovels and bulldozers to dig mass graves in Philadelphia. And the President of the United States, the only president in the history of the United States who was worse than Trump, and I mean way worse
It was Wilson.
Was Woodrow
right?
Wilson. He was horrible. Horrible. White supremacist.
Yeah, he was the asshole that brought us in the Federal Reserve to us, you know?
Yes.
And
all the horrendous stuff that he did. He killed 675,000 Americans with the plague and another 140,000 in that ridiculous war. And he paved the way for Hitler. And he did. They begged him. The way the plague was spread in 1918 was that these guys turned up at the military bases because he wanted to go to a war, which was absolutely ridiculous. And the guys turned up sick. And then he was moving them all over the country. And these military bases were super spreaders. Everybody in the bases got sick. Then they put them on trains, sent them all over the country, sent them to Europe, and ultimately 675,000 Americans and 50 million people worldwide died. Now, in this country, we could very well get to 675,000 the way Trump is going. I mean, you know, this guy absolutely doesn't care. All he cares about is destroying the country as much as he possibly can. And
is he working with Putin or what? He's got to be.
Putin owns Trump. You know this story, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Putin, when Trump inherited all his money from his mobster father, and his father was completely beholden to the five families in New York, right? And then Trump gets all this real estate, and he's the worst businessman that ever lived. He goes multiple bankruptcies. He's $4 billion in debt, and then suddenly he's rolling in cash. What happened? Well, what happened was when the Soviet Union collapsed in the 80s and 90s, all these guys were in the gulag, and they had formed mafia groups in the gulag. They're all tattooed and all this shit. And then they come out, and they take over the country, and they have trillions of rubles, and they want to launder the rubles into the American economic system. So what they do, they find a crook, a guy born into the mob named Donald Trump, who has all this bankrupt real estate. And what they do is they bring in, through Deutsche Bank, all their rubles, and he gives them the real estate at completely inflated prices, and then he cashes in the rubles and gets out of debt. That's where Donald Trump comes from. Now, when Putin takes over Russia – in 1999, he inherits all of Trump's money, all of Trump's notes, all the mafia guys in Russia. He becomes Putin becomes Don Corleone, and they all are beholden to him, and they have Trump, you know, all the paper on Trump, and so Putin owns Trump outright.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
Putin could be, you know, a good fella on a street corner, as far as Putin is concerned. You know, Trump could be. So that's where it comes from.
Did you ever see the interview? Or maybe you did or didn't, but brilliant interview by Edward Griffin. Are you familiar with him? He works at
I have met the guy who knows the most about Trump is Robert K. Johnston. He's from upstate New York. He's been following Trump for 30 years. And there's another book.
No, the only reason I mentioned that Griffin is because he wrote a book called The Creature of the Jekyll Island, from Jekyll Island. And that was a book that how the Federal Reserve was formed under Wilson and so on and so forth. But the interesting thing about Griffin is back in the early 80s, he had done an interview, which I saw several times. It's actually on YouTube. I think you can see it on YouTube now. Edward Griffin interviews ex-Russian KGB man. And that interview was so fascinating because what he said, the KGB guy, was he didn't say Donald Trump specifically, but he alluded to Donald Trump in there as the idiot billionaire. All right. He says they use this idiot billionaire. He says, and you know, they're laundering their money. But he said 90% of what the KGB does is, he says, it's trying to undermine different countries, to undermine the governments in different countries.
He right.
Said, that's what they do, rather than outright, you know, aggressive things. Instead, they do what they tried to do and what they did in 2016. But they were doing this back in the 1980s and 90s, you know. That was their objective, to undermine those countries. And this one was perfect. And the other one was that Erdogan. What the hell is going on there? I mean, he's got the Twin Towers sitting right in the center of Istanbul, you know, eh? The Trump Towers.
Yeah.
Bragged about. And he gives up Syria, all right, and gets out of there. And the next thing you know, these things are so sick and they're so obviously tied in with Putin. And especially that first conference he had with him. I forget where it was exactly. The first meeting he had with
Putin.
Remember
right.
that one?
But you,
he had a two-hour meeting with nobody in there. You know, and he came out. It looked like he'd been been raped.
I'm sure Putin showed him diagrams of the cement shoes that are waiting for Trump. You know,
exactly.
So
people
want to help us protect the election. Go to electionprotection2024.org and sign up with us. Join our Zoom calls, because we are going to try and, you know, reform, put totally on paper ballots and get rid of the Electoral College, get rid of gerrymandering. I mean, this election, I'm glad that Trump has done all this craziness with the election. It really shows us what the weaknesses are and what we have to change.
Oh,
you know?
Did you ever think for one minute what he did with his contempt of Congress, with his contempt of everything, all right? But I blame Congress. I blame Congress for being nothing but a whiny, wimpy nothing. You know,
in the next 2 years, it's ridiculous, a complete waste. So what we got to do also in the next 2 years is that we got to get rid of the gerontocracy of the Democratic Party. You know, Pelosi's 80, Schumer's 70.
Look what we elected. We elected a 78-year-old senile
guy. And Biden, Kamala Harris will take over. We'll see what's going to happen. AOC, you know, is eligible for the presidency in 2024.
I love AOC. I would.
Yeah,
would,
so she's old enough. She meets the age requirement.
What do you think?
Well, what's got to happen is, I have a piece up at Reader Supported News. People should look at it, Reader Supported News. It's about how this election, you know, Biden was elected by the millennials. The millennials are now turning 40. Millennials in this country voted 60% for Biden. And he would have never got an electoral victory without the millennials. Now, you know, it's blacks, it's Hispanics. The millennials are a very much more diverse generation. You know, they don't have this racist stuff. They don't have homophobia. You know, us baby boomers, we started out, we had two jobs in front of us. We had to revolutionize the culture and end the empire. And so we succeeded in revolutionizing the culture. But, you know, the empire, that hasn't gone so well. So the millennials are now going to have to dismantle the empire. They got to get Medicare for all. They got to get, end police brutality, free public education, abolish student debt, get a Green New Deal, completely put us all on solar and wind. What's got to happen.
What did you think of?
It can't happen without getting rid of the old Democrats. The old Democrats have got to go.
Well, hey, the old Republicans have got to go too, man. I mean, you take a guy like Mitch McConnell, man. I mean, this guy, how the hell he's been alive this long is beyond me, you know.
He made a deal with the devil. You know, there's a portrait
absolutely.
In somebody's basement.
Absolutely.
Shows him as a young man.
Trump.
Trump wasn't smart enough to make a deal with the devil, but McConnell did, and he's the problem now. But, you know, in the next 2 years, we have got to completely remake the Democratic Party. And then we've got to completely remake our election.
Look what he did accepting that $229 million aluminum plant in Kentucky, okay?
Of course.
By the Russians. I mean, not to mention, I mean, there was some big payday there for Mr. McConnell and Mr. I mean, how about a guy like, you know, to me, a guy like Lindsey Graham? This guy should have been bagged a long time ago and put in some kind of a nut house because, that guy doesn't know where the hell he's coming from. I mean, I never seen anything like it in my life, you know, to anybody that bad. I thought Trump was probably the worst liar I've ever seen, but, you know, Lindsey Graham is probably the worst liar I've ever seen. Bold faced.
Oh, he's a total pig. Yeah.
Total.
I mean, horrible.
I just never.
So,
these
guys got to go.
And they voted him in. They voted him in South Carolina.
Well, we don't know what really happened down there. And, you know, these places. The problem is the Democratic Party is completely lame. They go in there and they buy all this TV ad. Nobody cares.
Yeah. Hey, tell me what you thought of Iowa, okay, in the primaries there in the Democratic primaries.
The Democrats
steal
the primary.
You know what really happened there? Do you know what happened there?
Does anybody know?
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yes. Buttigieg, okay, was the guy, that application supposedly, that new app that they used to count the votes, that nobody knew what the fuck they were doing, turned out that app was invested heavily in that, all right, in that company, all right, and that company put out this app that nobody could figure out, used it for the election, and then what happened was is that it turned out, okay, that and nobody knew what the count was, and he was the whole idea was him to come up first and say I won. You know what I mean? He didn't win, but Bernie won. Okay, but there was no way that they could even count that vote because it was impossible. You know, to the way that application was, and I blame that asshole, the head of the DNC, Perez. I mean, what a crazy
I met him. It's like there's no there.
I mean, that son of a bitch, what he did, you know, to me, he, the Bloomberg, never ran, never nothing. He gives him three, you know, everybody, half the panel, half the candidates don't qualify, okay? And all of a sudden, he throws $300,000 to Perez and the DNC, and he's on the next, he's on the big debate. You know what I mean? What the hell is that all about? I mean, that's
what's about corruption, man?
As they got, and then he paid Stacey Abrams. He gave, he even admitted on in that debate, if you remember right, he said, "Oh, I paid off all the Democrats, all the people running."
Right.
And then he corrected himself and he said, "I donated to their, you know what I mean." But he did. He paid off all of them. You know, I mean, that is just crooked, Harvey. I don't know. You've been watching this for a long, long time and writing about it, and I've been doing it for 20 years as a live as a documentary
radio
television and radio, and my blog as well for the last 16 years now. But it's the immensity of this corruption. I, back in 2003, when right before the war started there, and they invaded Baghdad, we were right on radio that we got on our FM station right then, right before the war, and we were the first liberal talk show in not only Connecticut but around the country at that time on a commercial radio, and that's how we got involved with my favorite publicist there, Eileen. But she couldn't believe that there was actually a commercial radio show that was taking all of her liberal clients, you know what I mean? So, we did that program weekly, and we were amazed at the response that we got. And we lasted, we were on the air a year longer in basically the same market as Air America. And we were on the air a year earlier and lasted a full year longer in our area. And then they sold out our thing to our company to NPR. The guys sold it out to them.
At this point, you know, we got you and we got the internet and we got our grassroots EP network.
Yeah, that's everything back then went silent.
What we saw this year was that we can win with paper ballots. If it hadn't been for paper ballots, Trump would have a second term. There was no way in the world that we could do recounts on those machines.
No.
You know, thanks, unfortunately, to the COVID, but also the election protection movement, we have paper ballots that Trump cannot get around. You know,
Do you remember the election?
The Supreme Court.
The election. Yeah. Do you remember the 2004 election, Kerry?
Well, that's when I got. Yeah, I was in Columbus, and Bob Patrakis and I broke most of the story.
Bob Patrakis. Yeah, I had him on. I had him on my show a number of times, and we spoke about it. About this and other things, but Bob was really quite a force there. He actually sued Secretary of State there.
I was the plaintiff. I was the plaintiff.
Oh, you were.
Sent me my,
you were.
Yeah, I was.
Oh, no kidding. Oh, that was great.
Because sent the absentee ballot. They never gave me my absentee ballot, so I called them and called them.
Yeah.
And then I got in the lawsuit, and we won the lawsuit. And the 88 counties in Ohio were supposed to present all their election materials to the Secretary of State so there could be an actual recount. And of the 88 counties, 56 said they had lost their materials, couldn't produce
them. Oh, my God.
One of the counties,
well, do you remember?
One of the counties said that one of the counties said that there was a carafe of coffee that spilled on all the ballots and that were no good. Another county said they had put all the stuff out with the recycling.
Well, in between New Mexico and Ohio, I believe there was over 3 million provisional ballots that weren't counted. All right. You know, and you know,
they still haven't
accounted. Kerry pissed me off to the extent that I didn't vote for him. I couldn't even. I mean, I was apoplectic on the air when when Barbara. You remember when Barbara Boxer had the
was she challenged
the election?
Yeah,
remember
with Stephanie Tubbs Jones. Yeah, well, that's a really good one this year.
Remember that?
This
No, actually, it was really interesting because to me, when I looked at that, I could not believe that, you know, he was Barack Obama, for Christ's sakes. He was the he was a senator there at that point. And he got up and he said that he, you know, his all the black people in the country, half of them were their votes were rejected. All right. It was definitely a problem there. And he got up and said, oh, I don't see the problem. Well, not to me. I didn't see it. You know,
well, we briefed all his people in Columbus. We briefed all his people. They knew exactly. He knew what was going on. And he went out and his vice presidential candidate, John Edwards, was begging him not to concede. And he went out there the next day at 1 p.m. and threw it in and went windsurfing. I mean, you know, come on. If he had done what Trump
actually,
is doing,
he went skiing with Schwarzenegger, right the next day.
Well, who knows? I don't know.
Yeah.
We heard he went windsurfing, but you know,
he was skiing with Schwarzenegger. But you know, that guy. I mean, for him to do that. But listen, there's two things I wondered if you knew about this because we covered this very, very closely over that period of time. And to me, I was involved with the Democratic Party at the time as well in this area. But I was totally floored that during that period there was no. I kind of lost my train of thought here. I'm sorry, but I was overwhelmed really in 04 at the amount of money that was collected by the Kerry campaign, but also by the Dean campaign. And the money
Kerry collected $7 million that he said he was going to use to challenge a stolen election, and then he didn't do it.
Right.
And who knows what happened to the $7 million?
Yeah, but you know what he did? No, but let me tell you what he did. Kerry raised over $100 million. All right, $120 million, and he was when he conceded, he had only spent less than half of that on his actual election. Okay. And he had $50 million remaining in his coffers.
Right.
The other clown that did that was none other than Howard Dean. Okay, Howard Dean in Iowa, by the time he got to Iowa, Trippi had made over $90 million for that guy on internet. Okay, on the internet funding. And after that $90 million, right? Guess how much he spent.
How much?
Of all of that, he only spent, I think it was like maybe $50 million at the most, and he walked out of there with $50 million in his pocket. All right,
right.
That was the price of conceding, because how the hell Dean could have gotten so far behind? There was rigged. I mean, Kerry was 25 points behind Al Sharpton, for crying out loud, you know. I mean, nobody wanted that clown. And all of a sudden, he beats out the front runner who was, and I don't know if you ever saw that debate and that they did the first debate. What they did is everybody destroyed Dean. They went after him with a sledgehammer, all right?
Right.
And Gephardt, I don't know if you remember him, he just went after him with everything he could, and it was so bad. And so vile that he lost immediately, and he dropped out. You know, he fell on his sword, and that was it. No, you never heard from that bastard again. And all of them did the same thing. All of them. And Dean just couldn't. His head was spinning there, you know. But then he came in third place, I think, or something like that. In Iowa, and he withdrew. But what he did was Dean was the guy who was the first anti-war candidate there. You know what I mean?
Right.
And he led that movement, and then he gave it up. Okay, at that point, I don't know if you remember during that time, but I was heavily involved with the anti-war movement there. I did two full documentaries on the DC, the 203 and January 18th, 203 DC rally. There was about 500,000 people there, dead winter. And then again in 2005, there was another huge rally there, another big rally, 300,000 or 400,000 people, anti-war rally. I did a full documentary on that. We interviewed Ramsey Clark and Cindy Sheehan and everybody. But the thing was is that what surprised me is that that anti-war. Well, actually, Bob Fartakis was one of the only guys in the country, and myself, okay, who actually. Found out that the protesters were sprayed by a bioweapon called tularemia, and that was proven by the CDC. Came out and said all the biosensors in the mall area on that day, September 24th, 2005, went off. They went all off, and we realized. And that came out about a week later in the Washington Post. And we found out also that, and the CDC came out with a strong warning that if you're there, what they said, and we know that we were sprayed because a number of people saw the helicopters and saw stuff coming out of there. They said, I think they're a friend of mine was saying, hey, I think they're dropping something on us. And so we went into the Reagan building and underneath and stayed there for about an hour or two until we got the train home. But that was unbelievable. And they proved. Bob Fartakis wrote a column. I did a documentary on it and, televised it basically nationwide. Anybody that pick it up. But it proved that if you spray, they said that if you spray 250,000 people overhead, right?
Yeah.
A minimum of 19,000 of those people will die, and they'll die from causes similar to pneumonia and heart failure, those kind of things. Well, quite frankly, when we came back, we came back that evening on the bus going back to home. There were about 40 people with us on the bus. Half of those people were sick.
Yeah.
Very sick.
Yeah.
And
we got this fascist coup going on. Well, people got to be ready now to deal with this fascist coup. It ain't over because it can still go to the Supreme Court and it can go into the Congress. I mean, they're not going to let up a bit.
Do you think that Supreme Court would actually rule in favor of him and the insane Giuliani? You do.
I don't think I don't think Roberts would, but the other five would. It would be 5-4. We're going to see how bad they're willing to make it. But this is payback. This is like watching all the terrible dictators that we put in power in other countries
right. Coming
back to roost here. Pinochet, Somoza,
right.
Suharto, Marcos,
yeah.
all these Nazi
yeah.
pigs that we put in power in those third world countries, they're all wrapped up in Trump. And Trump is not going to stop. So people should look at my history. I'll send you guys a free copy of my PDF of my History US if you want to write me at
I meant to do that.
I'm going to read you it. It's called The People's Spiral of U.S. History, and people got to join us at Election Protection 2024.
Yeah.
Join our Zoom calls. I'll send you a link. Go there, and whoever writes in for a link, I'll send you a free PDF of People's Spiral of U.S. History.
We know what's
going on here. There's no mistaking it. I mean, if it hadn't been for the election protection movement getting us ready for this election by preparing with paper ballots, Trump would be ready for a second term. We could never have stopped him without paper ballots. And so people got to understand that and join our movement to remake the electoral system in the next 4 years and to get rid of these ridiculous Democrats who never do anything. You know, Pelosi, Schumer, Feinstein, they all got to go. And we got to have a young, vibrant Democratic Party.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise,
what kind of a chance do you think AOC's really got? I mean, in the next,
I don't know,
years,
but you know,
I
you
love
gotta
it.
Lead
no,
the
don't
charge.
Get me wrong. I'll follow her. I'll follow the White House there.
I feel sorry for her. The young woman. She's just in her early 30s. She should have a wife, you know. But now everybody wants her to save the world.
She wants to, and that's why you got to love her because.
But you can't wrap it all
squad,
up in one person. She'll be what we got to do is make clear what we want. We want universal health care. We want a Green New Deal, total conversion to renewables. Shut all the nuclear plants. Get rid of what I call coal, oil, nukes, and gas, or King Kong.
Right.
We gotta deal with the police. We gotta deal with racism. We got to forgive the student debt and make education free. We got to end homelessness, for God's sake. End poverty. Defund the military. Why do we have 800 bases all over the world? What's that? Why do we have troops in Germany, for God's sake?
Really?
I mean, bring these people home, use them to fight forest fires, use them to install solar panels on every rooftop. We've got 3,000 square miles a rooftop in this country that could have solar energy on it, and we can be energy self-sufficient. Shut down fracking, shut down coal and oil, all that stuff.
Not only that, there are other remarkable things like Tesla's energy. I forget the name of it. Nikola Tesla.
Nikola Tesla, of course.
Yeah, his invention, the energy force, I forgot the name of it, that he...
He had an idea that there was electricity everywhere, and maybe he was right, we don't know yet, but he certainly did a lot of good stuff, and the fact is that the technology is here. We can convert 100% to wind, solar, batteries, and increased efficiency. Mm-hmm. We do not need nuclear power plants. They all got to shut. There's 90 plus reactors in this country, any one of which could be blowing up as we speak.
We got a big one in Watertown, Connecticut.
Millstone.
They got to shut. They closed it in 96 and reopened it in 2000.
All of them got to shut.
Just let me explain that. I was very involved with the guys that had closed this thing, and kept trying to keep it closed in that area. And I did three documentaries on them, on their fight, and the people that were involved, including Ralph Nader, who tried to get the thing closed down. But there's so many things that happened during there that I learned, and I mean we are so friggin' vulnerable, and that company is still operating, on a 20-year permit on a closed nuclear facility, for crying out loud,
It's insane.
It's crazy. And at the time, they had come up with this plan they called the Mobile Chernobyl, which was coined by the Millstone Group. They wanted to, their plan was to put these nuclear rods, okay, highly radioactive nuclear waste nuclear rods, put them into these large concrete containers, all right, put them on the flatbed trucks and carry them over to Yucca Mountain, all right. Now, the crazy part about that, they were going to drive these things right through towns and cities and highways, you know, this is my friend, very, very heavy activist, Joe Besaid, at the time. He was also a whistleblower from that plant, and he and Salman Jalli of CAN, Connecticut Against Nuclear Power, they got in a Winnebago and went across country to show, you know, and stopped at each town to tell people that they were planning to bring nuclear waste through these towns. They were followed the route that the NRC had planned for the Millstone waste, you know, nuclear waste. And that plan blew up. They, you know, the Yucca Mountain plan blew up too. I don't know. Are they still,
well, I've been in Yucca Mountain. You can see the earthquake fault. Trump
right.
is starting to talk about it, but it's not going to happen. Yucca Mountain will never happen.
No.
And but the bottom line is
the aquifer.
Yeah, we're in the middle of a revolution here. Wind and solar but we have to protect the election. So people got to come to electionprotection2024.org. Get on our Zoom calls. Read my book, The People's Spiral of U.S. History. And, like I said, I'll send you a free PDF. And, this has got to be dealt with. I mean, we're in the middle of an attempted fascist takeover. It's very serious and it hasn't been decided yet. People want to support the campaign in Georgia. Go to NAACP in Atlanta or go to People Demanding Action. Those are the groups that we're supporting, also Stacey Abrams. And they really don't want people to come down there in person because, they want Georgians to do this. And obviously you got the COVID. So, of course, Trump's going to go down there and infect half the state. But, that's the way it is. So,
yeah, he's planning to do a rally. He's a loser president. He's going to rally loser Republicans. I don't know. It's just getting crazier and crazier.
This is the end of the empire. This has happened to all countries that have empires.
Right before.
You know, we've had an empire for 200 years. We've been conquering other countries. We've been putting in horrible dictators just like Trump. And now it's our turn to deal with this, and we got to deal with it soon. So this is by no means over. Trump has another, 50 days to destroy the country. And that's exactly what he's doing.
That's right.
People are dying left and right because of him. And he doesn't care about the COVID, doesn't care about homelessness, doesn't care about poverty. We got all the money that we need wrapped up in the military. You know, we have a military that's perfectly designed to defeat the Soviet Union in 1985. And, that's what our military is about. We need to bring those troops home. They need to help us put solar panels on all the rooftops in this country, restore our ecological nightmare, get us to energy efficiency and put in the batteries. That we got to end the empire. This is Donald Trump is
honestly
the creature of the ending empire.
Do you honestly, I think he's the beast of Revelation, to tell you the truth. But the thing that bothers me, and I don't know if we're going to be able to do anything, but with Kerry, they're putting Kerry as he's going to be the head of the global warming
right
whatever and
task
and
force
the
or whatever
peace accord. Yeah. So I don't know. He's a useless creature anyway. I don't know what the hell.
Here's the idea.
Any liability whatsoever.
I think it's good that they appointed somebody and he's well known.
Yeah.
So, you know, what are his capabilities? I don't know. What I want him to do, here's my plan, it's first on your show, is to solve the, you know, we have this horrible plastics problem. Plastic,
yeah.
and this huge continent of plastic in the Pacific. So I want Terry, he was a Navy guy or a military guy, take a U.S. aircraft carrier into the middle of this island of plastics,
plastic,
and convene
yeah.
a global conference to clean up that plastic out of the oceans. And they could take
yeah,
our
how
Navy,
many, how many
which is useless.
Miles, how many miles is it over there? There's some kind of whirlpool.
It's like as big
like
as Europe, you know. I mean, it's huge.
Yeah, it's the size
it's
of Europe.
Gigantic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a gigantic
plastic.
Island. So take a U.S. aircraft carrier, invite all
yeah.
the other countries that have aircraft carriers,
yeah.
hook them up in the middle of this plastics island, and figure out what to do with that plastic and get it out of there. I bet they could do it in 2 years or less. All that plastic
yeah, dredge
could
it,
be...
Dredge it out somewhere and, you know, to...
Dredge it out, melt it down with solar energy. You can
yeah.
use it for building blocks. You can use it to fill potholes, you know, build buildings with that plastic and
yeah,
get it
know,
out of the...
Do you notice that, yeah, they're doing that... Are they doing that in China or where are they doing that now? They're
yeah,
putting,
I mean, they're using it to,
yeah.
to fill potholes.
They're using it for... Yeah,
can,
yeah, it's making great roads, you know? I guess it's,
roads and,
yeah.
and building materials, absolutely. We could stop
yeah,
cutting
yeah.
down trees for buildings
yeah.
and build these buildings out of plastic.
That's
now,
amazing.
You know, it's not good if it burns. That's a bad... That would be a bad thing. But, you know, but we got to get it out of the oceans. So take a couple
What's
of aircraft
yeah.
carriers, have a big conference in the middle of the ocean and deal
yeah.
with the plastics problem.
Tell me something.
That's what
though,
we
got to
do.
Yeah. Now, the name of your book is what? What's the name
the,
of your book?
The People's Spiral of U.S. History. It's actually at Amazon. If you want a paper
okay.
copy, I'll give you a free PDF. Write me
That's
at
fine.
Solartopia.
Yeah, because...
Solartopia. Oh, I've sent you a free one. Solartopia. At 20
yeah.
At electionprotection .2024.org, I'll send you a free PDF. Join our election protection movement so we can have paper
right.
ballots be a permanent part of the American electoral process. Get rid of gerrymandering. Get rid of the electoral
no,
college.
I agree with your program totally. But I was going to say you have my email. You can send that to me if you
yes.
need that PDF.
And people can email me. Email me, solartopia at electionprotection2024.org, all one word. Solartopia, S-O-L-A-R-T-O-P-I-A, at electionprotection2024.org. We do have a 501c3. If you want to send in some money, we can deal with that. But and our elections protection Zooms are 5 to 6:30 p.m. Monday. But we do have, you get that through the same website, Election Protection 2024, but we also have them on archives, so you can go back and look at the ones.
Okay.
Yeah, they're all recorded, they're all archived at electionprotection2024.org. But join us on Monday and get my free copy of The People's Spiral of U.S. History.
Yeah.
I'll send you the PDF. Write me there at Solartopia. At electionprotection2024.org.
Okay. Well, Harvey, thank you so much for being on. And
well,
but,
let's talk again after January 20th. And
January,
you know,
yeah.
maybe
we
need
that.
You.
But,
we need you as part of the election protection movement. So read my history book, and we can talk about that and do another show on election protection.
Look forward to it.
All right,
and
brother. Great to talk to you, man.
People can check him out also at
solartopia.org. Yeah, solartopia.org.
Your website. All right. Well, thank you so much, and I hope to have you on again real soon, pretty soon.
All right,
okay.
brother. Take care. Thanks
take,
again.
Take
Bye-bye.
Care, Harvey. Bye-bye. Good night.
You too, man.
Yeah. And that was Harvey Wasserman, and I want to thank him very much for being on tonight. And please go to the website solartopia.org and you get information there. And, anyway, I want to thank everybody and wish you the best. And, you know, we'll be back again next week. Next week we'll be talking to Charlotte Dunnett again, a fascinating lady, and she's a Middle Eastern journalist, and she wrote a book about the Middle East controversies, and we'll be talking to her next week. So have a good night, and everybody, and see you then. And let's see. Let's go to this. Good night. That was the wrong opening. I'm sorry, folks. That was the wrong song. There you go.